The destination of this coach is Hazard, Kentucky. We're due there at 5:15. For your convenience, there's a restroom located in the rear of the coach.
You gonna get sick? Huh? Oh my God! He's coming at you!
All right. When it comes to 2-year-old Olivia James, you are not the father.
You've irritated the tool gods. You must now be smeared with the holy grease of disdain.
Brought to you by WorldWrestlingInsanity.com. It's JG's Radio Free Insanity with your host, James Gutman. Yo, Gutman, what's the ish?
That's right. What's up, guys? As you just heard, my name is James Gutman, and you are tuned in to JG's Radio Free Insanity right here at WorldWrestlingInsanity.com. Today it's Friday. It's November the 25th. It's 2005. For those of you in the United States, it is the day after Thanksgiving, and chances are you have the day off of work, so way to go on that. Yeah, guys, not too much going on this week, obviously. It's a holiday week for, you know, anyone in North America, so therefore wrestling is no exception. Not too much going on. There's a lot of hype. Get ready for Sunday Survivor Series, which we will talk about soon enough, but a couple of things. I'll give you guys a little rundown, some of the changes that happened to the website over the last few days. We've now installed a new program that's going to allow us to have headlines go up on the site that will be searchable for you. They're also going to be having a timestamp on them. It's going to be easier to navigate. We have categories, things like that. So we're doing everything we possibly can to make the site more and more enjoyable for you guys each day. So hopefully you'll take advantage of all we have to offer. We also have the RSS feeds ready to go. Just drop me an email on that, and I can hook you up with that. You can put that on your website and or anywhere else you'd like to keep our headlines. I don't know. I won't get into your personal life. That's up to you guys. So a lot of good things happening with the site. A lot of changes. But God, if it wasn't a pain in the ass to get it up. But now it is up, and we are good. Another thing I do want to talk about. We didn't get to talk about it last week because we had a difficult week. But this week, I do want to get into it. Right now on Amazon.com, World Wrestling Insanity, the book, The Fall and Decline of a Family Empire, is up for pre-order. It is ready for you guys to grab up and maybe grab some Christmas gifts or some people. But yeah, you know what? Let me give you guys some background on the book. So a lot of people have always asked me some questions about it. I didn't want to get too into it until the book was available for order, just because, you know, I mean, you don't talk about things that early. So I figured now this is as good a time as any to give you guys a little rundown of how it works. When I first decided I wanted to write a book for ECW Press, I knew I wanted it to be something different than what most people have read before or have written before about professional wrestling and the industry as a whole. So what I did set out to do was do kind of an overview of WWE. Now, one of the things that many people know about me is that not too many friends in my life. I have very few people that I really hang out with that watch wrestling. So the only way to get people in my family or friends to read the stuff that I write is to write it in such a way that they can kind of pick it up and understand it first time around. So that's kind of how this book was put together. It's a kind of book where if you've been watching wrestling every week since you were 1 year old, 1 year old, one calendar year in age, if you will, you could pick it up and you'll learn something new. There'll be many things in there that you haven't known before. So I did write it with you guys in mind. Those of you who follow the industry very closely, there's information in that book that's never been printed anywhere, absolutely anywhere. And it's one of those things where I had a lot of different things that I kind of sat on. I wanted to put them into the book. I wanted to have them in there. So you're going to find out a lot of information that you didn't know before. But also, if you've never watched wrestling before, if you've never watched a day in your life, you could pick up this book and learn some things, too. But not in a way that you won't understand where it's coming from. So it's pretty cool in that respect. So if you do have somebody in your life, a friend of yours, that doesn't watch wrestling, but you want them to understand a lot of the things that frustrate you, you want them to understand why you watch the business, you want them to understand the idea behind the scripting of the shows, this is the right book to give them to take a look at. One of the things about it that always used to get me was I would sit down with people and I would explain to them, like, oh, you're writing a book about wrestling. I said, yeah, I'm writing a book about wrestling. Well, what are some of the things in it? Well, one of the things I talk about is I talk about the scripting of the TV shows, and I talk about the allure that happens with performers who want to look good. And the way I've always explained it to people is I say, when you watch Seinfeld, or you watch, not Seinfeld's a bad example, you watch Friends, let's say, because Friends is always my go-to example when it comes to telling somebody who doesn't watch wrestling about wrestling. When you watch Friends, Jennifer Aniston is Rachel while she's on the show. But once that show ends, once the programming is over, she becomes Jennifer Aniston again. She goes home and she has to live her life. Hulk Hogan is Hulk Hogan every hour of every day of his life. And the way I explain it to people is, when you have that kind of obligation to yourself, when you know that the character you play on TV is going to be you every day, 24 hours a day, at the supermarket, at the movies, at the mall, obviously there's going to be a certain amount of desire to look as good as possible on TV. And I think that's what people never really truly understand, is people always say, you know, well, if wrestling is a lot like TV, it's really no big deal, it's just a scripted show, it's all fake anyway. But what really separates wrestling from entertainment and television is the fact that these people are always their characters. And when that happens, it creates many different things. It creates character confusion of wrestlers, and you hear about this all the time, wrestlers who don't know where their character begins and their true self, you know, begins or ends, and things like that. They're kind of stuck in that rut of being who they are on TV and not being able to separate the two. So that's a big part of the book, discussing a lot of how the scripting of the TV shows gets kind of mangled through politics of people who don't want to look bad in their personal lives. Obviously, we hit the major players. We hit all the important people. There's some stuff about John Laurinaitis, some stuff about the McMahon family, stuff about, of course, The Game. Triple H is in the book. The guy's on the goddamn cover, for crying out loud. So we definitely hit the McMahon family. Another part of the book that I want to make clear to you guys is the book is fair. And that's one of the things I told everybody who helped me out with the book. You're going to hear somebody, our special guest today is going to be Aaron Aguilera. Aaron was one of the first people I grabbed to help me out with the book. And when you do hear Aaron on the phone later on, for those of you guys who don't know, Aaron used to play Jesus. He was Carlito's bodyguard in WWE, fought John Cena at Armageddon of last year, almost a year ago now. I just got back from neck surgery. But when I got Aaron on the phone to help me out with the book, one of the things you guys will notice is Aaron is a very, very positive person. Not just for WWE, because he's positive for WWE. And I know a lot of cynical people say, well, he wants to get a job there again, blah, blah, blah. But Aaron's just like that. Aaron is a very happy, nice guy. Therefore, when you're doing a book that's supposed to be an expose on WWE, he's not one of the first names you would grab, but he was one of the first names I grabbed. And the reason why is I wanted it to be fair. I don't want a slam book on World Wrestling Entertainment. I didn't want the kind of book where it went out there and every single thing Vince McMahon and Triple H and Stephanie did would be made to look bad. I think Stephanie, Triple H, Vince McMahon, the family as a whole do enough real things in life that are bad that make them look bad. I don't need to make things up and kind of push it. So within the book, the things that they do right, we give them credit for. I applaud the right choices they make, but I also shine a light on the bad choices they make. So don't pick up the book thinking it's going to be a slam thing on WWE. It's a fair thing, I think, on WWE. And where Vince McMahon deserves credit, he gets it. And where he doesn't, he doesn't. Now, I talk about Aaron Aguilera being in the book. That is another big part of the book that I wanted to do. I know one of the main criticisms that people always have about wrestling writers in general, they always say, you know, oh, it's just your opinion over and over again, yada, yada, yada. And I've heard it. I mean, we've all heard it. So what I wanted to do when I made the book is I wanted to get a diverse group of wrestlers and performers together to kind of give their opinions on things. And if you go to the page right now on the website and you click on book, you could read all the people involved in the book. Very different group of people. You have everyone from Terry Funk to Elix Skipper to Missy Hyatt to Amy Weber to Aaron Aguilera to D'Lo Brown, Tom Pritchard. I mean, they're all in there, and they all come from different facets of the industry. Some of them are friends with each other. Some of them aren't friends with each other. Some of them just hate each other. But they're all included as well because I wanted to get kind of a diverse group of people to comment on things. Now, one of the things in the book, too, that I did like that I did was that they're not just commenting on their own careers, and they're not just commenting on history. A lot of the questions that are in there are about philosophy. You know, asking a particular performer, what do you think about you know, for example, you say to somebody, what do you think about the idea of using women in wrestling in 2005 in a North American company? I mean, that isn't one of the questions, but you get the idea. It's the philosophy of a lot of these wrestlers from what they've seen and where they've been. So that's in the book. And as I said before, a lot of things from behind WWE's walls that really have never been reported and that I think are going to surprise a lot of people if they're not really expecting to read in the book. So a lot of things just jam-packed in there, guys. And then there's going to be more information coming out as we get closer to the release date. But as of now, I mean, that's what it is. It is available on Amazon.com. And again, you got Christmas coming up, so run out, grab it today. There's a link on the main page. And at the bottom of every page, there should be an ad for it just because, you know, I wrote a book, and now it's on Amazon. So if you guys get a chance to check it out, we'll be talking about it a lot more. I know you will be enjoying it. So hopefully you'll check that out, and you'll let us know how it goes. So now we've talked about the book, so let's bring him on. Let's bring on one of the first people I had help me out with this project. Let's get him on the phone lines, Aaron Jesus Aguilera. Okay, so join me in welcoming to the show, Aaron Aguilera. Aaron, what's going on, man?
Not much, man. How you doing?
I'm doing good, dude. I've been doing good. How's everything by you?
Everything is going all right, man. Just trying to stay busy, trying to keep after. You know, I had the neck surgery, so I got to start from the bottom and work my way back up again. So, everything happens for a reason, man. So, I can sit around and ask why and do all that, or I can just get after it again and get tough. So I'm just back doing all the little indies again, you know, little roller rings and bowling alleys, and just trying to stay after it, man.
Is it different for you now going back after being in the big time? Do people treat you a little differently?
It is, man. It's a little humbling, you know. But man, I'm not bigger than the business. You know what I'm saying? And I still have my goal in mind to be the WWE champion. So I just got to take a little different route than everybody else, probably. But like I said, I mean, I can sit here and say, oh, why me? You know, why does it happen to me? You know, but. It's different because, you know, you get a little taste of it, you know, and you see how professional things are. Then you get back on the indies and you see how shady these promoters are, you know, trying to pay you $20. So, yeah, it kind of sucks, but, you know, I've been doing it for so long, I'm kind of used to it, man.
No, totally. As it stands right now, I know that you're doing a lot of work out west. What are some of the promotions that you've been working for out there?
Well, I'd like to work for UPW, but unfortunately they run one show a year.
Oh, man.
So, that's not very good. They still have their school going, though. The school's going pretty good. I teach a class for them. I teach a beginner's class for them once a week. So the school, we're getting a lot of students and some people with some potential, I think. I think there's some good kids in the school. And you might be seeing them probably a couple guys getting signed here pretty quick to developmental deals. But, there's too many letters, you know. I can sit here and I can name a bunch of three-letter federations, but who doesn't know who it is, you know? Your listeners probably won't even know who they are. But basically, I'm just doing all the naval-based and, you know, little parking lots and swap meets and all these little things I can do, but they all got three letters. But I'm just trying to improve and trying to get out, out east, but it's kind of tough, you know. I spent almost a small fortune trying to get booked to Ring of Honor, but Gabe said it's all filled up right now, and Frank Kazarian's put in a good word for me over at Jersey All Pro, and just got back from Australia, worked at the Dudley Boys, that went pretty well, and looking to go back to Japan in December, so I got a couple things cooking, you know.
Nice, man. Well, I mean, that's pretty cool, the fact that you're teaching a class. I mean, you're a fairly young guy. I guess you're like around my age. You think that's the kind of thing that you might be looking to do in the future? I mean, it's always good to have, long-term plans. I mean, do you enjoy doing the teaching and teaching the young kids?
I do, and they're not idiots. You know, some of them are idiots. Some of them see me teaching class, and they I had a couple of students leave, actually, because they see my class was too tough. You know, but if somebody out there wants to pay me to teach, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't pay me to teach, you know, because I don't think I'm that good. You know, I think I got a lot, a long ways to go and a lot to learn. So I tell the students this, I almost feel silly teaching you guys because you guys are probably better than me, you know, but I'm old school. I was taught old school Lucha Libre down in Mexico, and that's what I impart and instill into the students that I teach. You know, they may not like it. It's very tough. It's a lot of conditioning. It's a lot of cardio. A lot of stuff before you even get in the ring we have to do, you know, but and a lot people don't like my classes, but hey, if someone's stupid enough to teach me, to pay me to teach, I'll teach, sure, why not? As long as I, you know, I love this business and I want to stay involved as long as I can, you know. I want to be one of them agents for WWE and get that check to the day I die, you know what I'm saying?
Nice, nice. I gotta tell you, man, I first started speaking to you a long time ago when you helped me out with the book that just went up on Amazon.com to everyone listening.
How do you read a book that's not out? That's all I want
to
know.
Oh, eventually. You have to whet your appetite a little bit for it. It's like
right.
A menu at a restaurant, only we make
it. Well, I keep hearing about this book. This book's so great about this book, and then I asked you for a copy of the book, so the book's not out yet.
It's all a work.
When am I going to see this book?
It's all bullshit, dude. This is all for me just to listen to myself and laugh. No, I'm only screwing with you. One of the things, though, that I caught about you that I was taken back by, you're really a humble guy, a very humble person. And one of the stories you had told me was about when you fought John Cena at Armageddon, and the match was actually replayed on SmackDown. And I remember the situation that you went through. If you could explain it to our readers a little bit again, too, about how that match came to be played again on television.
Yeah, well, as far as I know, they don't really do that very often. They don't usually play the replay pay-per-view match back on TV, but they were so impressed with John Cena and they were so impressed with the match that Vince decided to go ahead and re-air it the next week on television, you know. And to me, that was a pretty big compliment, you know, because I guess what I heard was that they were really kidding on Cena about being more aggressive. He needed to be more aggressive. And I guess that match was when it finally happened for him. You know, I finally brought it out in him, and you saw a new John Cena, a more aggressive John Cena. And I think that kind of goes back to our past. Not a lot of people know about our past. At UPW, we started out together. We trained together. I was there the first day you showed up, and we had our first dark match together. We had many, 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 many practice matches together. So the feud and the rivalry and the history goes way deep to what people just saw at Armageddon. You know, the Jesus, Carlito, John Cena feud. It goes way deeper than that. So I think that might have something to do with it, but Arn Anderson pretty much told me and John after the match that he's never seen John look that aggressive. So I took that as a compliment to bring that out of him, you know.
Yeah. Well, we're tying it back to what I was saying before. I was saying before that you're a very humble guy, and for somebody who actually had Vince McMahon like his match so much that they put it on TV, I mean, I've talked to some former WWE guys that, you know, if they glanced at Vince McMahon somewhere down the hallway, they think that they're above everything else. What do you do to keep yourself so grounded and to keep yourself from getting that big head, especially when you're in a place like the big time in WWE?
Yeah, it's tough because it's an ego business, bro, and everybody who's in this business, you have to have some sort of ego, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, it's just the way I was raised, man. My mom raised me that no matter how big and bad you are, there's always someone bigger and badder, and she just said, don't talk good about yourself, let others talk good for you, you know? So I always try to live my life by that, you know? And I just, you know, every day I wake up, I just try to improve myself, whether it's reading a book or lifting a weight or getting on the Stairmaster or even doing one push-up. If I can just improve myself one little bit, I'm a better man today than I was yesterday. And that's kind of tough in this business because this business is really dirty, you know? And it's full of a lot of cocky guys and a lot of guys that are full of themselves, you know? But, you know, I don't know, it's the way I was brought up, man. I was brought up my mom just taught me to be humble, you know, and I try to, you know, I'm a born-again Christian, and, you know what I'm saying, it says in the Bible to be humble, so I just try to, you know, I'm not perfect by any stretch of the imagination. I need a lot of work, you know what I'm saying? I need a lot of things in my life, a lot of areas in my life I need to improve on, but, you know, I'm just trying, you know, just try to be humble, try to be modest, try to be a little bit meek, you know, in this shady business that we're in. But for every cocky guy, there's always a good guy out there, like a Paul London, like a Carlito, like a Spanky, who are good, humble, righteous guys that aren't out there partying and cheating on their girls. They're out there, they're staying clean, not doing no drugs, and they're in their hotel rooms telling jokes and messing around, jumping on beds when other guys are out there, you know, dabbling in some bad stuff, you know. So for every bad guy out there, there's a couple good guys out there too, you know.
You still currently watch the product, right? What do you think about wrestling on television today, both TNA and WWE?
I like what TNA is doing, man. Those guys are awesome, bro. I had the pleasure of being in the ring with Chris Sabin and Petey Williams last week at Pro Wrestling Guerrilla. out here in Los Angeles, and that was a great honor because I always see those guys on TNA, and I have the utmost respect for those guys. Those guys are awesome. Those guys can freaking go. They're great workers. And for me to be able to put that on my resume, that I was in the ring with those guys, that was a great honor. The match was not as good as I would have liked to be, but they were happy with it, and, you know, and, but I like what TNA's doing, man. I just wish they, you know, they got like 50 guys in their contract with only 1 hour of TV time, so it kind of sucks for me. Because I don't really think they're looking to hire anybody right now. But I don't know. I mean, I watch WWE, and I see some good stuff, man. And then I also watch it, and I'm like, man, I could do that. You know, like, man, I could be there. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of frustrating, you know, because I know that I got signed for a reason, and they were high on me for a reason, and they called me up for a reason, and they put me in the semi-main event in Armageddon for a reason, and they put me with the number one guy, number one heel in the company for a reason. And so when I'm not on, you know, when I watch it, I try to be humble and try not to get mad, try not to throw things at the TV, but I see some really good stuff, stuff that I can do, like great, great, great workers, you know, but then I also see some stuff that I'm just like, man, what was that? Yeah. I know I can do better than that. I know the people would rather see me in the ring than a couple of them other dudes I see on TV. So, I don't know. I can't see it both ways, you know.
Yeah. How was it working with Carlito when you were there? I remember we had that Morgan on about 2 weeks ago, and he was the bodyguard after you were the bodyguard. What was that like, working with Carlito?
Oh, it's cool, man. He, it's pretty easy, man, because he's so over. All you gotta do is just walk behind him, man. You know, it's the easiest job in the world, man. You know, who knows? I could have been the next Tyson Tomko, bro, and just walking behind Christian for the, like, 2 years and getting a paycheck, man. I'm not as big as Tyson, but I would like to be. But, yeah, it's pretty easy because Carlito has so much heat and he's so over with the crowd. All you gotta do is cross your arms, wear a funny yellow suit, and stand behind the afro, and they love you, man. You know, it's pretty much a cut and dry, pretty simple job to have. So it was pretty fun, and he just right. I told him when I first got up, I said, "Look, Carlito, I'm not here to steal your thunder or to steal your limelight. I'm just here to ride your coattails, bro. So just take me to the promised land, bro."
Hell yeah, man. Well, before we start finishing up, if you had to pick one guy on the roster right now that you wish you could wrestle, in WWE, TNA, any promotion right now, who would it be and why?
I had the utmost respect for Fallen Angel, but I've already wrestled him. So I would love to wrestle AJ Styles. I would love to, man, because he's freaking awesome, bro. I mean, what can I say about AJ that hasn't been said already, you know? I think the matchup with the heavyweight, lightweight, a cruiserweight, big man type thing would be pretty intriguing. And then I never got to wrestle my good friend Paul London, and he's my friend out of the ring, he's my brother in Christ out of the ring. But in between the ropes, man, you know what I'm saying? If he wants to call out Jesus, man, we can do this, you know. So I have to say WWE would be Paul London, and TNA would be AJ Styles.
Cool, man. All right, dude. Before I let you go, anything you want to tell any of the readers out there that they might not know about Aaron Aguilera, or any plugs you have coming up?
Yeah, man, just I'm looking to revamp my website, so keep your eye on that. It's AaronAguilera.com. That's AaronAguilera.com. And keep your eyes on that for some upcoming bookings. I'll be heading to Japan, hopefully, in December. I got some pro wrestling guerrilla shows coming up. I got some adrenaline shows coming up. And I got some AWS in the City of Industry. At Frank and Son's Collectible Toy Store. That's coming up. So I got a couple things cooking. So if you guys are in the Southern California area, come out and say hello, and I'll give you one of my cheesy little stupid WWE 8x10 Jesus photos of me.
Hell yeah, man. Aaron, I want to thank you again for coming on, man. We'll have you on again soon. Maybe we'll have you take some questions from readers and stuff like that next time around.
Hey, and in 4 years when your book comes out, send me a copy, bro.
Damn straight, Dave. It's not coming out. I made it up, man.
All right.
Thanks again, Aaron, man.
Brought to you by WorldWrestlingInsanity.com.